Welcome to the Most High Show. I'm your host, The Coast, aka Costa, aka Andrew La Costa. And I'm sitting here with my mother, Jennifer.
Hi, guys.
And we got a good show for you. So let's get started. This is The Most High Show.
Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
Yeah, watching your kids spiral out of control and hide it from you. You know, because as you are going downhill and spiraling out of control, we would see it some days and other days we wouldn't see it. And so some days we'd say, okay, it was just a phase. You know, lots of kids experiment, and so it's just a phase and he'll be okay. Lots of people experiment or use and come out of it and not have a problem. But as I said, you know, it was just such constant lying and hiding. And, you know, you're really good at it. Mm-hmm. Really, really good at it, even at a young age. It was hard to know for us where exactly you were in the whole process. Did you need help? Did you not need help? Was it just a phase? You know, that type of thing. And then we were so thankful when you did go away the first time because you definitely needed help. And you had chosen the facility up in the mountains. And you said that's where you wanted to go. And honestly, we weren't sure that was the right place for you. But you wanted to go.
Yeah.
So that was good. I don't know if you had shared, but the first week Andrew was there, he decided he did not want to be there. And so I think you talked one of your cabin mates into hitting your shin repeatedly with a steel-toed boot. Yep. In hopes that it would break your leg and you would come home.
Yeah, he hit me 13 times in the shin with a steel-toed boot. And I still remember the exact number. I don't know why, but I do. And yes, I did talk to my cabin mate about doing that. It was actually his idea.
Well, the joke was on you because at that point we were strong and we said, even if you broke your leg, you were staying there.
Wow.
So, you know, we knew you needed the help. We knew you couldn't be home. We knew they could help you to some extent. We thought, you know, honestly, when you were there, I think you were doing good. Of course, you were out of the situation at home. You were not with your friends. That were not helping you be the best that you could be.
Yep.
So while away from the situation, you were good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had high hopes and prayers and strong belief that you'd be good when you got back. But when you get back, you came back to the same situation you were in. So you were hanging out with the same friends. You know, and it's hard for, and I think you had mentioned it a couple times. It's once you are in a group of friends at school and you're known for certain things, it's really hard to stay in that school and branch out to other groups.
Mm-hmm.
So you did go, you know, you started hanging out with the same kids, starting to get back into the same situation you were in. I think then it was weed and alcohol.
Yeah, well, the first rehab I went to, I started taking your pills when you broke your leg.
Oh, yeah, that was then.
And
but again, thought it was those pills in that bottle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know it was more than that. And again, addicts and alcoholics are really convincing when they're lying and hiding.
Yeah.
And it's hard. You want to believe your child. And so you know, we did to a big extent, mm-hmm. you know. You said that was it and you were done and that's what we believed. But, you know, it kept going downhill. You were getting in trouble with the law. You know, we were knowing now what I now knowing what I know, probably bailing you out all those circumstances was not the best for you. You weren't facing what you needed to face. As a parent, we thought we were helping set you up to be better in the future, that you didn't have the legal presence in the background, and you know, from your past.
Mm-hmm.
But it kept going, and you did have some incidents with the law, and you did try a few other rehabs in between, and again, you kept coming back to the old friends, the old lifestyle. So when you finally were driving blackout drunk and crashed your car on our street and totaled your nice little Camaro, you know, it was God's way of just saying enough.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
I didn't see it then, but yes, it was.
It was. He just said enough. Nobody's hurt. Thank God nobody got hurt, except the poor car. But it enabled us to get you where you are today. And I was telling Leslie before that too just fell into our lap. I had called a friend at work and said, I can't come into work. This is what happened this weekend. And she just got on the company healthcare website and said, here's a place in Roswell. And that's how we found Insight.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God for that. I don't think you were totally committed the first month. I know you weren't now. Try to have one foot in and one foot out. And it didn't work out for you. But again, you were growing. You know, you might not have seen it at the time, but you were growing. And it was when Dad and I were away that you got so out of control. And you called and told us how drunk you were, and friends were coming over to help you and get you. And then you asked for more help. And, you know, I think that was the beginning of you really starting to want to change your life around.
Yeah.
And realize that there could be a better life for you. You know, those things are hard for a parent to go through and watch your child go through. But thankfully, you know, thank God that he was pointing you in the right direction and us in the right direction. And sometimes it's a matter of seizing the moment and seeing what's in front of you. And, of course, a lot of faith that's gotten you where you are here mm-hmm. today. To the wonderful young man you are becoming.
Oh, so like when I was a kid, right? Let's bring it back a little bit to when I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
right? Because when I was a kid, I was...
You were a sweet kid.
I was fine.
You see those crinkly's eyes? He's always had those cute little eyes.
Oh. No, but like, because I just want to like, because this interview is a lot more than just you and me talking. You know, I think it could really help a lot of mothers out there and a lot of
mm-hmm.
You know, people that can actually see that a son and his parents, or a son and his mother, or family in general, can really, like, everybody gets better when mm-hmm. when somebody's in recovery. It really does kind of bring the family all together. And so I just want to like kind of touch on the fact that my childhood, like, you guys did a lot for me.
We did a lot for you.
You know, and I really do appreciate that. You guys, like, as I was growing up, like, I mean, I don't think I could have been in a better situation. You know, like, this whole thing just kind of, addiction doesn't care who you are.
Nope. Doesn't care who you are, who you were born to, what lifestyle you have, how much money you have. If your parents were great parents, mediocre parents, bad parents, it doesn't. It's just hits wherever it's going to hit.
Mm-hmm. It really doesn't. It doesn't.
It
matter.
Doesn't discriminate. And, you know, along the way between your situation and your brother's situation, we have met quite a lot of families, and I could attest to that completely. It doesn't make a difference. If you're adopted, natural child, it doesn't make a difference. And although it hits the singular person most, it very much is a family disease. Mm-hmm. It affects everybody. And everybody needs to go through some sort of recovery and growth in order for everyone to heal and the addict, alcoholic to have the backing that they need and the help that they need to succeed. I guess you don't need it, but I would imagine it makes life easier for you to have your family with you and doing what needs to be done.
I mean, at the end of the day, you got to do it for yourself. But
right,
it definitely helps Absolutely. Having you guys be there and supportive of me. And, you know, even like telling my grandma that she can't drink at the house when I was in a halfway house, you know, when I would come over and visit, did help. I didn't really see it, didn't really know about it, but that's what y'all did.
Yep.
You know.
And so, not just the, and it wasn't just your family living with you. You know, mama and papa, they're completely in.
My grandparents, by the way.
Yeah.
My other grandparents, her parents.
I don't know if they'll ever drink around you because that's, you know, they just don't feel it's appropriate, which is fine for them. Mm-hmm. They just want to support you and do what they can to help you in your sobriety.
Yeah.
And not, I don't want to say not jeopardize it, but just help you and support you the best they can. But yes, we did. You had a good life. You know, we've tried to give you what we could, you know, give you to afford you a nice lifestyle and give you a hands up on what you wanted to do with your life. Mm-hmm. And lots of times, I think we could have made a lot harder decisions than we did. We should have made harder choices and said, you're on your own. You need to, if you want to, you know, if you want, you know, a nicer car than we could afford, you were having to chip in for it or whatever the circumstance was. You know, I think we should have had you participate more in your life. I don't know if it would have made a decision or not.
Yeah. So is that kind of what you would tell other parents?
Yeah.
Even though it's difficult.
It's difficult.
One of the hardest things you probably ever do.
And I know a lot of parents do. You know, you want this, we'll earn it. And, you know, you would make money or save money for certain things that you wanted. Especially, I think, before the drugs and alcohol became your focus and that's where the money went to. But for a while, you were really good at that. And you were really good at helping others that needed help. Whether it was you always had a soft spot for homeless people. And when we would go to Miami Heat games, you know, it broke your heart to see the homeless people, and you would ask us to give them money. And you collected money for homeless at one point in time. So you've always had the good heart, and mm-hmm. seeing that, you know, we wanted to foster that. Kind of rambling, I feel like, but it's hard to make those tough decisions, you know. Have your child participate more in their life. And with you and your brother, it was hard. You just weren't going to do it. You didn't want to you just didn't want to do things.
No.
And so because it was easier for me, I did it. Even if it was picking up toys or whatever. And a lot of that I would like to think is because I've suffered with chronic fatigue. And after you were born, it really hit me hard. And it's something that, you know, will come and go. And you know this, it comes and goes with me. And I don't know if I would, that's not the only reason I took the easy route, I don't think. You know, so circumstances are never perfect for anybody. And it's hard to work through the hard things. And then they're going forward to when you were in rehab, Andrew and some friends were living with us while in this rehab. And the rule was they could live with us as long as they were sober. Mm-hmm. Once you were sober, you couldn't stay. And we had to ask one friend to leave, and then you got drunk.
Well, that kind of brings me to what I was going to ask you next is, how did you feel? Because, I mean, I've relapsed
several
times. Yeah. And that first time, I mean, it kind of hit us all.
Yeah.
A little bit.
That was pretty hard.
That was the first time you kicked me out of the house like that.
I did.
You know.
Hardest thing I ever did in my life.
Yeah.
I think it was easier for me to do it then than, say, before the program. Because I knew this program, as long as you were doing your stuff, even if you do relapse. And that many times is part of the process. Recovery is a process. It's not a one-way street where you just, maybe some people do just go forward and not have any regression, but other people fall back, and that's okay. You pick yourself up, you learn, and you keep going. And it's the same thing for families. So I had been hearing constantly in our support group, the parent support group, that can't live with me if you're not sober.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew your friends in the group would come and help you and take you in or help you out. So I knew you wouldn't be
homeless. Yeah.
Which was a huge fear for mine, you know, from the beginning. But still, hardest thing I've ever done. Hardest thing. However, when I look back at some of the other things that you had done, sometimes it was easy. As hard as it was easy and necessary to keep you propelling forward. Because if I make life too easy for you, you're not going to do it on your own.
No. So I know.
What's coming up?
Oh, I know she wanted to embarrass me a little bit.
I have a few stories.
So we can lighten up the mood a little bit here, and I'll give her a chance to try and embarrass me.
Which story do you want?
I don't know.
You know, Andrew.
Oh God, here we go.
One of the most frightening things that we had gone through with Andrew is that he would drive blackout drunk. No idea what he was doing, where he was. We had installed a GPS on his car, so we at least knew where he was. We prayed every time he got behind the wheel that nobody would be hurt or killed. And of course, you know, I think many young drivers just never think things will happen to them. And then you couple alcohol into that. And, you know, Andrew had gotten in a couple accidents or stopped by the cops. And, you know, this one time he was in an accident and you called me in the night and said, I was just in a little accident. I just want you to know I'm going to jail. And I raced down there and you were so drunk, just so drunk. And I guess the policeman thought he was doing you and us a favor by releasing you to me. And gosh, your ass should have been in jail. You know? And I guess that was, I don't know, maybe a few months before you wrecked the car. But
I mean, it was almost totaled at that point, too, I think.
No, that you just tapped the that was just the fender. You just tapped the lady ahead of you at that time. But we have some good stories. Which one do you want to hear?
You were just telling Leslie about the time that...
So there was one time
I was in psychosis. Pretty sure I was in psychosis. I don't actually know, but it seems like a psychosis type thing, you know?
You know, and it's funny to relive these memories. Now. It's funny now.
That I'm sober.
When we are going through it.
It was horrible.
You know, it's horrible. And in this instance, I'm just like, what the hell is going on with this kid? What in God's name is going on? Andrew came home and he's clearly not in his right mind. And he comes in and he said, Ma, you got to get out of the house. Somebody's coming to kill me. You got to get out of here. They're coming. They're coming. I can't have you be here. You can't. I don't want you to get hurt. And, you know, I said he owed the money is what he's telling me. And I offered to go get money and we could pay them off. And we decide the two of us are going to leave the house. Now, you ever see
this is at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
It
by
was,
the way.
It was. Yeah. So Andrew gets in the front of the car, front seat of the car. He crawls out of the garage, climbs into the front seat on the floor so nobody sees. Because in his mind, whoever's coming to get him wants them only to see Mom leaving and I'm still home, is what you were saying.
I was trying to help.
You were trying to help. You definitely were trying to help. We get out on the main road and he's like a whack-a-mole. He would pop his head up and look around, pop his head up and look around. And he popped his head up and said, oh my God, they're behind us. Go. Well, I had just pulled out in front of another car. Of course, somebody was behind us. But this went on for quite a while. And we drove and drove and I think we drove probably for about an hour until I said, I think it's okay to go home. And I guess you had relaxed enough to allow that, to realize that nothing was happening. You don't remember this. You only remember what I've told you about the situation. Mm-hmm. I don't think you remember any of it.
I mean, you know a lot more stories than I do. And I laugh at this now, by the way, but it's not like psychosis, and it's not like something to laugh at. It is actually an issue. It's a mental health issue. A lot of people that go through psychosis, you know, or suffer from drug abuse and suffer from mental health. And I do want to just kind of throw that in there, that it's not actually like something to laugh about. I'm just laughing at the story because it was us.
We were lucky.
You know, so I just want to throw that out there and say that.
Mm-hmm. I think lots of psychosis episodes could end in something horrendous happening.
Mm-hmm.
We were lucky that it wasn't anything like that. We weren't in an accident. You didn't cause an accident. I mean, you could have. You were a wacko. And I honestly didn't know what was going on. I didn't know it was psychosis or...
I mean, we still don't honestly know if it was psychosis or not, but it just seems like it was.
I don't know. You just weren't with it. But yeah, there's some stories. Everybody's got stories. Car. And as Andrew says, you know, we kind of chuckle about it now, but it really is nothing to laugh about. And, there was one time when my parents were down visiting and, you had driven up to Lake Lanier and parked and got so drunk.
I had a breathalyzer in my car.
Oh yeah. I forgot that.
Yeah.
Those are wasteless.
Useless for me because I would find ways around them. Mm-hmm. But I had a breathalyzer in my car and, look at this camera right here. I had a breathalyzer in my car, and I remember some of it because I wasn't too drunk yet when I was driving up to Lake Lanier, but I drove up to Lake Lanier, which, if you're not from this state, is like our biggest, it's a man-made lake. It's up in north of here, but whatever. But I drove up there, and I had a breathalyzer in my Camaro, and I was drinking when I got there, and then completely turned off my car, because usually I would keep the car on while I was drinking so that I can leave, and turned off my car and completely forgot about it, and then had to call my grandparents.
You called our house and said, I'm staying here for the night. I'm too drunk to drive home.
No.
So I'm just going to stay here, parked at Lake Lanier, and sleep it off. Well, my dad, your grandfather, thought...
That's all I remember from that story. Yeah. So.
And we had the GPS on the car, so we knew exactly where you were.
But I didn't know that you guys had a GPS on my car.
I was on Star Service, so yep. Papa decided he was going to go up, and he thought he could talk some sense into you. And apparently you were pretty belligerent all the drive home, and it's quite upsetting for him. Because although my parents knew the situation and they would hear stories, they were never in the throes of it. They had never witnessed it. And so, again, you know, it touches all family members.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, they were realizing how extremely serious this was. So... you know, again, there, by the grace of God, nothing happened to you. You were fine. We got you home. I guess we went up for the car the next day. I don't even remember. But, yeah, I mean, there were stories.
I have a question.
None of them good. What?
Let's switch off this for a little bit.
Sure.
When I was in the throes of addiction, as you kind of put it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Was there ever any point where you or dad or whoever kind of blamed yourselves for?
Well, yep.
It's okay.
Yep. Again, should have did things differently. We shouldn't have moved. I think for you, and we move because of your dad's job.
Mm-hmm.
We've moved often, not as often as other people. And I think the downside for us for moving is that we've always lived someplace, except the first time in Michigan, for about 7 years. You get roots, that becomes your home. And when we moved up here, to Georgia, you were in sixth grade, and you weren't welcomed, and it was hard, and hard for your brother, hard for you, and so that was the first regret I have, that we moved, that I was not a strong enough parent, I did too much for you, even knowing now that, you know, this probably was your walk in life. There is, I believe, alcohol and addiction in our family already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe that to be true, or they at least abuse it. There are some people that I believe abuse it. But yeah, I have a lot of resentment towards that. And you and I have talked about that, and you've been able to put that aside. I have not been able to do that yet. I try. But blaming, yeah. If I had just done things differently, if we just hadn't moved, if you were able to keep the same friends that you had in Florida, you know, it seems like they're all doing great. You know, if we had stayed down there, you would have been great, you know.
Who knows? That's the story of it all. Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Didn't. Nobody knows. I don't have a magic ball. I wish I did. But nobody does.
I just kind of want you to know that don't blame yourself. This is supposed to be.
This is your walk.
This is who I am. And I'm proud of who I am. And I'm proud that I went through the things that I went through.
And we
not necessarily
proud of,
proud of the situations.
I know.
Not proud of going off on you guys and getting into fights with you and dad and, you know, being blackout drunk and almost killing people or almost killing myself or scaring the hell out of y'all. Oh, not proud of any of that. But do I regret it? It's like I was saying yesterday. I don't regret anything that I went through because it's where I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's who I am right now. It's what made me into the person that I am right now.
Yep.
You know, so I just don't blame yourself. I know it's easier said than done.
It
but
is.
I don't know if I ever told you that.
You have. You have many times. But I also see, and because you've always been such a caring person with such a huge heart, even when you were little, you know, this is, maybe this is what you needed to go through to give back. Working here at Most High Media, I mean, you are just thriving. You are sharing your stories, helping other people. You're passionate about it. And that's what you want to do. You want to help and share others with others, and you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is all the vehicle that you needed to get here. You know, life is not perfect for anybody, and I'm certainly not belittling alcoholism and addiction. Not at all. Everybody's, I think people have got their own demons to fight through and manage. And some are harder and easier than others, but look where you are today. We couldn't be more proud. Doesn't seem like it now with me bawling, but so proud of you.
Mom, thank you so much for coming down. She's coming down from Michigan, by the way.
Yep.
Michigan.
I come
good
in.
Old Detroit. Not really.
Yeah, a little north. Where it's now snowing.
Yeah. It's like 40-something degrees here.
Yeah, it's not warm here either, but.
But thank you so much for coming out and kind of. Hopefully this helps somebody else out, another mother or another son or maybe a father or somebody in somebody's family. Hopefully it helps somebody. That's kind of why we do these things, you know.
I hope it helps.
I love you.
I love you too.
And thank you. And thank you guys for watching. Don't forget to download our app, Most High Media. If you have any questions, you want to come do a podcast, anything like that, don't be scared to hit us up on social media, The Most High Show, everywhere. Yeah. Anything else you want to say?
Nope. No? Thank you all for being here and doing what you do.
Shoot. What would you say to the moms out there who are, you know,
that's a good question.
Going through this and struggling.
What would you, Leslie just asked, what would you say to mothers that are struggling out there that
mm-hmm.
give them kind of hope, strength, and
first of all, know wisdom. That you are not alone. There is help out there. There is Al-Anon or Alateen. You can contact Most High Media. I'm sure they could help you. They can get you in touch with me. I'd be happy to share what I've been through anyway. I'm certainly no expert whatsoever. But it is important to know that you are not alone. You are not the first mom or dad to go through this. This addiction and alcoholism is just an epidemic. And seek help. Go to groups, talk to people. Go on internet and look for chats and whatever. And as you talk with people who've been through this, you will get a better idea of maybe what you need to be doing. You know, be strong. Don't do everything for your child. Let them take responsibility. And as hard as it is, because you want them to have a good start in life, you know, sometimes we need a fall to get back up. And sometimes the falling is really hard. And all you could do is be there to catch them and hold them and let them know you love them. Because they're going to do it. But you've got to be there to let them know that they're loved and you're in their corner. And you will do what you need to do. It might not be easy. It could be hard. But you're always with them.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Mm-hmm. It's not easy. I mean, it's not easy being a mom or dad anyway. But when you have these extra challenges, you know you're not alone. There's a lot of parents that come into the group, and you know they kind of thought they were by themselves. Mm-mm. So find the help. Find somebody to talk to that won't judge you, because it's not about that.
You have a question for me. Active, huh? So you have a question for me.
Yes, as you are an active addiction, what could you tell someone out there who are parents, what could they do to help, or how they can, you know, whatever they can do to help out or not get in your way? I don't know.
What could we have done differently, or what did we do that could have helped you better or did help you through this, right?
I mean, I think it's a lot of what you were just saying is there's only really one thing that you honestly can do, because addiction is going to hit us one way or the other. If it was meant to hit us, if we are an addict from the jump, you know, like, it's going to hit us. There's nothing anybody can do about it. The only thing that we can do is be aware of it. Have the support that we need behind them. The last thing that we need is somebody judging us. We don't need somebody coming up to us and being like, oh, you're an addict. Ugh, that's disgusting. Like, no, it's not anything like that. You know, it's we need that support, which is something that you and Dad have been really good at giving me. And I mean, just know, like, it's not your fault. You know, it's not my fault. It's nobody's fault. This is just how it is. Mm-hmm. There's really no way to kind of put it, you know. The only thing that you guys can really do is just love on us.
Yep.
That's all we need. That's all we want. At the end of the day, like, the things that we do are because, like, for me at least, is because I felt alone. I just kind of always felt like that. It didn't matter who I was around or what I was doing or who I was with, or it, I just felt alone, you know, like always. And again, that's not you guys, you know. Maybe there's some parents out there that, like, can love on their kids a little bit more, or support their kids a little bit more, or be there for their kids a little bit more. And sometimes supporting your kids and being there for your kids are not supporting your kids. You know, like, if, like, one of the best things that my mom and my dad did was kick me out that day. You know, kind of jump started me realizing, like, all right, they're not going to co-sign my bullshit anymore, so it's time for me to get all my shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's time for me to be a man and grow up. I was like 23 at the time. It really was time for me to grow up and be a man, you know.
And own your stuff. Yeah.
And own my shit. Ownership. So, I mean, really, it's just kind of loving and be there for your kids and talk to people about it, because sometimes you're not going to know how to do that. Sometimes the best thing to do is to kick them out. Sometimes the best thing to do is be there for them and love on them, you know? But it's important to kind of have that support for yourself, too. Mm-hmm. I think it was very important for my parents to get that support that they got from Insight, from like the parent group and from Al-Anon and all that stuff, because they didn't know how to deal with it.
Mm-mm.
You know, just like I didn't know how to deal with addiction. They didn't know how to deal with me being an addict. So it's very important to educate yourself and try to understand, which, by the way, is a lot of what we try to do here at Most High Media. You know, our goal and our end game ultimately is to try and educate and end the stigma of addiction and mental health. And so if, you know, Leslie will be happy to talk to you guys if you need help with anything. My mom would be happy to talk to you guys if you need help with anything. I'll be happy to talk to you guys if you need help with anything. Christian, David, Dan, James, all of us that work here, Darren, everybody that's here will be happy to talk to you guys if you need help with anything. All you have to do is hit us up and just let us know what's going on. You know, you can even come down here if you want.
Can I jump in on that? You mentioned about, you know, overcoming the stigma.
Mm-hmm. Put the microphone a little bit closer.
I am so impressed by all the kids in Insight. They're awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And yeah, they're drug addicts and alcoholics and in recovery. But I would have any single one of you in my life and in my home. I am proud of everything that you've been through, and to say that I know you. So the stigma does need to get turned around, because it's not as if you're horrible people. You're not. You are not. And going through recovery and working through the 12 steps, you learn so much about yourself and how to communicate effectively, that you are way more equipped to enter a relationship than I was at your age. And that's commendable. That is really something to be proud of, that you guys have worked so hard to get where you are. And believe me, I know other people that I would rather not be friends with. You know, I'd rather be friends with you guys. You are awesome people. And there shouldn't be a stigma attached to it.
Well, I completely agree with that. Just because we're drug addicts does not mean we're bad people.
Mm-mm.
We're just misunderstood. It's really honestly what I feel like. And that's how I felt my whole life, is just misunderstood. You know, and I know plenty of people that just do feel misunderstood.
Yeah.
So again, Mom, thank you.
Thank you
so
honey.
Much for coming out. Like I said, if you guys need help with anything or want to talk to either of us or anybody here at Most High, hit us up. Facebook, The Most High Show, Instagram, The Most High Show, and download our app, Most High Media. Thank you so much for watching. Mom, I love you.
I love you too. Proud of you.
Yep. Y'all have a great day and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.